Welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast, presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast. Hope everyone's having a good day. Hope you're all having a good week or month. You know, even if you're listening in here at a future point in time, and this is one of those past episodes where you're like, man, I just needed to listen to this, because today we're going to be talking all about Ethereum and gas fees and how the ecosystem has changed and scaled over the years. So we wanted to bring in Kevin Lepso. He is the founder of ETHGAS. Kevin, welcome, and it's good to have you.
Thanks for having me, Brendan. Really, really excited to go through this. I've been following you guys for a while, so it's an honor to be here.
The honor is ours, my friend. It's so awesome because when you look at the Ethereum landscape, it has changed vastly over the years. And I think Absolutely. Everyone sees that if you've been in Ethereum for any amount of time, it has changed so wildly from cycle to cycle, year to year. And the rate at which things are moving feels like it continues to accelerate. Now, prices are always going to be volatile at the time of recording this. We know that, right? We've seen a lot of volatility in price actions, lots of ups and downs, and a little bit of negative price action, but the fundamentals continue to move onwards and really to the upside, I would say, for the better. You know, one of the big things that we want to talk about here today is just everything that has happened to Ethereum and what you all have been working on at ETHGAS. And I think it's the perfect time to do it because there are some big headlines that came out in regards to ETH and its scalability and what's happening. And I think the average person has questions about Ethereum saying, hey, you know, is this really scalable? Can it ever get to the point that it's fully scalable, where it's affordable and efficient for people and companies and you know, the general population to use? And you've kind of worked towards a solution to that, as we could, you know, kind of dive into in today's episode. But before we do that, I mean, let's just start from the very beginning. You spent about two decades across all of finance and technology, and it led you to this point where you're like, you know what? I want to push towards crypto. I want to focus on crypto, and more specifically, I want to focus on Ethereum. What kind of led you to that?
Oh, wow. I started in TradFi. So my first 12 years were in TradFi. I started as a vol trader, FX option trader, interest rates, credit, correlation. I got really, really deep into the TradFi scene. And, you know, there's a lot of people who trade, but the area that we were in the credit markets and the mortgage markets. And of course, in 08, we had Lehman and the credit crisis. And so it was during that time when I realized that credit really drives the world in many ways that people don't understand. Like, for the most part, many of us follow like the stock market. We see, you know, stocks or the indexes going up and down. But, you know, like our money goes towards our mortgage. It goes towards like these like long-term payments that we need to make. And so having seen kind of the underbelly of that in 08 and kind of the reconstruction, I was like mind blown because I didn't understand, but I was like, this is messed up. Because fundamentally, between someone that would lend money to a bank and someone that would borrow, there's about 12, 13 intermediaries in between. And they're all making money on everyone. And so, you know, that brings us to maybe 2011, 2012 when I left finance. But it was around that time I started mining Bitcoin with a buddy. And, you know, it was like, there's like Silk Road. It was just funny stuff kind of going on and just tinkering around at the time. But then, you know, there's this idea like, well, what can Bitcoin become? And, you know, a bit of skepticism on my side, but just kind of tinkering in the space. Lo and behold, Ethereum comes along. And here in Hong Kong, there's a lot of these like OG crypto players in the scene here. A lot of the exchanges started in the region here as well. And Vitalik was coming through here talking about this new chain called Ethereum. And I was like, whoa, that's a little different than Bitcoin. You can actually do all these things. And so fast forward, at the time, obviously it was an idea. It was like, if this takes off, it really will work. But you know, I couldn't see it at the time. And so DeFi summer comes along, and then I realized like, hey, we have those rails in place now for a financial system. Like, it's not just the technology. We're starting to build the fundamentals of a financial system. And it was just the right time. You know, I had done a decade in TradFi at like the heart of the financial markets. I built an enterprise tech company and I was like, let's jump into the space. So that's kind of how I got into it. Yeah. And I guess I'll chat a bit of ETH gas specifically maybe, or what do you think?
You know what's wild? How many guys hit their 30s and suddenly everything feels harder than it used to? Your energy dips, the focus isn't there anymore, and gym progress stalls. The conversation almost always turns to testosterone. So I've spent a lot of time digging into this, not just the headlines, but actual studies, ingredients research, and talking to people who've gone down the TRT road. And once you really understand what traditional TRT involves, it includes lifelong injections with needles, shutting down your body's natural production, fertility concerns, and it really makes guys pause. That's why I've been paying attention to Mars Men. It's designed as a TRT alternative, not injections, not synthetics, just a stack of well-researched ingredients like Tonga Ali, zinc, and boron that are used to support healthy testosterone function. I've seen the science behind these ingredients, and I personally know guys using it who say they love how steady their energy feels. No spikes, no crashes, and no needles. For a limited time, our listeners get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. Mars Men is made in the USA, third-party tested, and backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. Over 91% of its users report higher energy levels, and the reviews speak for themselves. And again, for a limited time, our listeners get 50% off for life, free shipping, and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off for life, free shipping, and 3 free gifts. After checkout, make sure you tell them that Crypto 101 sent you. A well-built wardrobe is about pieces that work together and hold up over time. That's what Quince does best. Premium materials, thoughtful design, and everyday staples that feel easy to wear and easy to rely on, even as the weather shifts. Quince has the everyday essentials I love with quality that lasts. Organic cotton sweaters, polos for every occasion, lighter jackets that keep you warm in the changing seasons. The list goes on. Quince works directly with top factories and cuts out the middleman, so you're not paying for brand markup, just quality clothing. Everything is built to hold up to daily wear and still look good season after season. Guys, the coat I got from Quince was perfect for when I went home up north for the cold winter this holiday season. I got so many compliments. It was perfect, and it still looks like it just came out of the box. I'll be wearing it for years to come because the quality is that good. Also, they have so many awesome other things. I love their workout shirts. They have awesome polos. I got a couple button-downs to wear for date night, and even some sunglasses that look cool. I got all this stuff because the quality is great, and the online shopping experience for Quince.com is super fun. They literally have so many options. So going on their website and shopping is literally something that I truly enjoyed, and the products match. Everything is built to hold up to daily wear and still looks good season after season. Guys, the coat I got for my northern visit this holiday season was perfect. It kept me warm in the cold weather, and it still looks brand new out of the box, so I'm going to be wearing it for seasons to come. And guys, the price was spectacular. The online store is so fun and so easy. So if you're interested in that, you got to go check out Quince.com. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to Quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, Quince.com/crypto101. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/crypto101. New year usually means new devices. Phones, laptops, tablets, from grandma all the way down to the kids, or at least spending more time online. That's been a good reminder to actually think about digital security again. I've been using Webroot, specifically their Total Protection Plan, which is an all-in-one option if you want coverage beyond just antivirus. What stood out to me is that it combines real-time antivirus protection against things like malware and phishing scams, identity monitoring with alerts, and this is a big one, up to $1 million in expense reimbursement for eligible out-of-pocket costs if identity theft ever becomes an issue. Total Protection also includes tools like a password manager and web threat protection that blocks malicious sites before you visit them, plus options to protect multiple devices and even family members, all without slowing your system down or throwing constant pop-ups at you. So here's the deal. New year, new device. Whether you're upgrading tech or sticking with what you've got, now's the time to protect all your devices at 60% off with Webroot's trusted cybersecurity solutions. Visit webroot.com/crypto101 and get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com, webroot.com/crypto101 for 60% off. This offer is only available through the Crypto 101 link, so make sure you use it. webroot.com/crypto101 and get up to 60% off their total protection plan. This year, choose protection that's right for you and live a better digital life with Webroot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess before we even get into ETH gas, like, let's set the stage here, because before you even got into ETH gas, like, how did your background in financial engineering and market design and all of that shape the way that you look at something like block space, for example? Because most users still kind of think of it as just gas fees, right?
For sure. So there's a couple parts to this. One is that like there's a lot of people in this space think about the technology, and they don't necessarily think about what are the economic rationales, like what drives people to act in the way they do at kind of the microeconomic scale and kind of at like the macro side of things. And so, you know, on the micro side of things, like, yes, we're paying gas and the gas fees kind of go up and down. Why do they go up and down, right? Like, why does MEV exist? Like, what is it? And like, can I really feel it or can I not? And so there's that part of it. And then there's the macro part of it, which is, well, you know, block space is the single most valuable instrument in crypto. Like, without block space, Ethereum is worth zero. Mm-hmm. All the assets on Ethereum are worth zero. And so Ethereum's block space is worth more than the network itself. Mm-hmm. And yet, in the real world, we have commodity markets. You know, we trade, you know, energy, precious metals, base metals, pork bellies and everything, right? But, you know, in the real world, we have these markets because they provide transparency. They help people within that ecosystem manage risk. They help to eliminate cartels. And that's exactly what we have in crypto, because Ethereum is run by, and every blockchain is to a large extent run by cartels. You have a very small number of people that take advantage of everyone else, and they're able to kind of move these markets around. And so on the macro side of things, I felt that we need a block space market to provide this transparency in crypto, on Ethereum. And when we do that, that'll just unlock all these other things, which we can get into. So that's it. So there's a TradFi element. It helps you kind of think big, think of like, why is the world the way it is? And then there's a tech part, which is like, you know, just tinkering around, like fundamentally, like, how does this component work? How does this person talk to this other person? How do blocks get built? And why do gas prices go up and down? So putting the two together, it's a fun mix, but it's not like a left and right side of the brain, but it's just, you know, two different parts of the background.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where ETH gas comes in, right? You start working with this stuff. And I mean, yeah, let's just dive into that. I mean, let's tell us about ETH gas and what you've been working on over there.
Yeah, so as I was alluding to earlier, it was like, let's create this market to just trade block space. And so, you know, every 12 seconds, a new block is created. And these blocks are just created on the fly every 12 seconds. And yet, you know, what happens if, like, we wanted to create like a futures market around it? So it's like, hey, Brendan, like, you're a validator. Your block is coming up in 10 minutes time. Kevin, I have someone who actually wants to buy your block ahead of time, and they'll pay you a premium. Maybe a block is traditionally worth $100, but someone on this side says, hey, Brendan, I'll pay you like 105. So you're like, sure, I'm getting paid 5% more than I typically do. Like, why not, right? And so that's basically what we created, is that ability for validators to sell their block space in advance, for someone to buy it. And now that person can trade it just like a commodity. You can trade block space back and forth. It is the physical pipeline, so you could actually control what trades go through in that specific block. You could censor everyone else if you want. That doesn't change anything. People can already do that. But it just provides this new kind of arena where it's like, I can buy a barrel of gas. I can buy a barrel of, you know, Ethereum's gas. And so when you do that, it really unlocks these other things. And one of the other things that came up was we, once you have access to a block, we realized that instead of waiting for 12 seconds to build that block, what if we just built it every like 50 or 100 milliseconds? And what if we took a block, broke it into hundreds of pieces, and that kind of creates like a real-time Ethereum experience? And so I'm happy to dive into that a little bit more, but that's ETHGAS at a high level. Trade block space and do cool stuff with it.
There's two things I want to talk about there. You know, the first one is that you mentioned people can essentially like buy a barrel of ETH gas, right?
Yeah.
Or buy a barrel of gas.
Ethereum gas, yeah.
not literal. That would be wild. Although with tokenization, you know, who knows? No, when it comes to buying that, let's dive into how that works, because Ethereum fees over the years have been all over the place. They're cheap. You go look at 2021, 2022, absurdly expensive, to the point of where I would say the average retail trader really couldn't or wouldn't want to do Ethereum fees because it got so expensive. And then you go back to the current day and it's gotten, you know, fairly cheap again. And especially with different I was not going to say different L1s, you know, different L1s are cheaper, but especially with the addition of a lot of L2s, Ethereum gas fees can be all over the place. Does this mean that people can buy it when it's cheap and then use it when it's more expensive? Like, walk us through that process.
So not just yet. So there's actually two parts of gas. One is the base fee, which kind of goes up and down. And two is the right to land trades in the block. A little bit abstract, but we're starting with the latter, which is the right to control the block and dictate which fees, which transactions go through it. Soon, however, we will have the ability to basically buy like tokenized Ethereum gas. So I could buy a million units of gas now, and just like a perp, I could roll it almost from block to block. And that's to what you're getting at, which is like, you know, I need on a daily basis or whatever, I need X amount of gas. I just want to buy it. And so when I know I need to use it, I've pre-bought this stuff at a cheap level and, you know, maybe now it's expensive. How do I kind of spend it? And so that's possible, but there's some complexities around that. So we're tackling the first part, which is the ability to land trades in a specific block. And then from that, we can build a base fee market where effectively I can just buy, you know, 1 million gas, 10 million gas and use it when gas prices are high, or, you know, sell it when it's high, buy it when it's low, that type of thing. Funding rates, however, will be very interesting, though, simply because the base fee is so volatile that you will see funding rates into the hundreds of percents on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, for all of the degens out there, like, that's the thing that you need to take home. You know, if you are one of those NFT traders, meme coin traders, maybe you're just a very frequent trader or a whale. I mean, I think that that's going to be something to watch out for, because it has, I mean, as we just said, it's been all over the place in recent years. And although it looks like Ethereum is scaling pretty, you know, efficiently and effectively at this point, you just never know when activity is going to surge and gas fees are going to go up. And it would be a really cool feature. And I know like a lot of people would love to be able to execute on that, you know, just kind of like you always make sure. Well, I can't say everyone, but a lot of time you make sure like, okay, hey, my phone's charged. Okay, I make sure my car has gas in it. It's always good to be prepared. Oh, there's a big, I live in the South. There's a big hurricane coming. Maybe I have like a little generator. Maybe I get some extra food and water. Like, it's always good to kind of be prepared. And I think it makes sense for your finances as well, especially if you are active or if you hold a significant amount of assets in the Ethereum ecosystem. Why not have, you know, a little bit of extra gas stored up? And so it kind of just makes sense, right? Because we use it in all these different other aspects of our life. We're able to be prepared everywhere else. You know, we should be able to be prepared here as well.
Absolutely. So yeah, maybe rephrasing what I was saying earlier, the first thing we'll be working with wallets on is many wallets have like a slow, medium, fast in terms of like landing trades on chain. And there's like a different fee associated with it. They'll be having a fourth option called like instant. And so like that's the real timeness, right? So that's the first step. Once we have the instant button there, basically, the next thing is like a gas tank. And this is exactly what you're saying, where, hey, I just want to buy and store some gas and it's there for when I need it. And so at that point, the full stack is like available to the end users. There's this behind the scenes, really fast, really easy user experience. And there's the, I don't need to think about gas prices anymore. I've bought enough gas for, you know, this week or this month. And there we go.
So when you say instant, like how instant are we talking? Are we talking you blink and the transaction's done kind of thing? Like how does it compare to maybe doing a TradFi transaction? Because that's always, I feel like, the benchmark that people use is they're like, oh, well, can it be as fast as like the traditional financial routes? How does it compare?
Not yet. But so in November last year, we were able to make Ethereum about 8 times faster than Solana. So Solana is about, I think each block is 400 milliseconds, but on Ethereum, we made it about 50 milliseconds. So that's pretty good as a first shot. So 50 milliseconds, it's basically the time that you would like press a button or click a button and you kind of unclick. So it's that would feel relatively instant from a human perspective. It's not real time from a computer perspective. It's not as fast as like the NASDAQ or, you know, CME. But I'd say from a human interaction standpoint, that's effectively real time.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, when I go to the grocery store or any store and they're like, okay, well, put in your card or tap your card. Sometimes I'm sitting there for 5 to 10 seconds waiting for it to process and this and that. So I think so long as it's relatively competitive to that experience, I think it makes sense. You know, it's not going to be something that takes 30 seconds. It's not going to be something that takes a minute. I think the fact that it's, you know, one second or less, I would say it's
analogous to, it'd be faster than your Web2 checkout. You know, like once you've entered your credit card details in and you're like, pay, there's often like, even the time to load the page takes a while, right? But here you're not loading an entire page. It's just like this small little like applet or, you know, this little component. So faster than Web2, faster than Web2 UX.
Yeah. And how close are we to this today? I know you're.
So we pushed the prototype to mainnet in November. So it's like, hey, this works. Now we're at the point of integrating this end to end with everyone. And so in November we had the validators on board, and these are guys like Blockdaemon, Figment, Coinbase, like those types of guys. They're not necessarily on board with us, but those types of players. But from there to us, to the wallet, to the end user, you'll have some information very soon, maybe this week or next. So it's basically coming online very soon. It'll be kind of end to end where the end user can do this. However, it will not be on 100% of all of Ethereum's blocks. Ethereum's validators are beautifully diverse, but the beast of it or whatever is that they're so diverse, we can't get them all on board at the same time. So we're fortunate. We have about 5% of Ethereum flowing through us right now. But we know about 40%. They're in our like immediate network. They're a mix of our investors and friends. So it's easy for us to kind of scale this quickly. And so, you know, not every block is going to have that instant functionality, but it's reasonable for us to scale up pretty quickly, where hopefully by, I don't know, Q3, Q4. We'll see where we are towards the end of this year. But I think a meaningful chunk of Ethereum will be real time. So if every block or every third block, whatever, like that'll feel awesome.
Well, I want to talk about what that means, like what enabling that kind of instant process does and the standard that it sets. But before we do that, yeah, I guess two follow-ups. Number one, how much more does it cost to do this instant measure? You talked earlier about how there's kind of 3 gas fee tiers. You can, you know, put it to the back, the middle, the front, and then now there's the instant option. So number one, you know, how much more does this cost to kind of use the instant feature? And then number two, who is the target market here for what you all are building and designing at ETHGAS? Is it retail? Is it institutional? Is it everyone? If you could walk us through both those.
For sure. So how much more? This depends. So it could cost less than it is right now, because yeah, I guess that's a, maybe I won't go down that path. So yeah, it could cost potentially less because there's a lot of like MEV trading and searchers and snipers who typically would drive up the prices of block space, making it more difficult. So they would kind of disappear in this equation and making it more fair for everyone. So there's a world where it would be less. However, it will be more, and I don't know exactly how much more. So in 2026, we have kind of two hyperscaling aspects coming into effect for Ethereum. So one is the amount of block space that we have per block. It will increase from, in 2025, we had about 30 million gas per block. And this year, we're looking to get to 200 or 300. So that broadly just means we can get 10 times the amount of trades through within a single block, hopefully in 2026. Now, if we can get 10 times the amount of trades through, gas prices will absolutely drop. But on our side, if we're now saying Ethereum is real time, then people are really going to want the real time experience, right? So all of a sudden you have 10 times more capacity, but you have like 100 times better usefulness. So, you know, how is that going to kind of offset each other? Either way, it's a good thing, right? To have both of these scaling at the same time. So I don't know where it's going to go, but are they going to change materially from where we are now? I don't think so. So that'll be my first question in terms of where our gas cost is going to go.
That makes sense. That makes total sense. And when it comes to target market here, who is the target market?
So our target market is literally every single user on Ethereum. So there is like Brendan, like you just kind of like transferring to someone or like on Uniswap or Aave or whatever it might be. If you need that instant experience, I want it available for you and all your listeners, everyone watching this, to just make it faster and simpler. So that's one part of it. The other part is, well, who else benefits? And you have guys like Uniswap, for example, right? Where currently, you know, people who are LPs at Uniswap, they just kind of passively earn fees on trades. But, you know, traders can only trade once in that 12 block period. But if traders can now trade three times or five times within a 12-second period, these LPs are going to make 2 to 3 times more money, right? So all of a sudden, Uniswap is going to make $2-3 billion more a year. And like, where is that going to go, right? Like you have like them making this money, it can get paid to, you know, to access that revenue, they might pay it to the validators. So the validators of Ethereum benefit. Yeah, this really touches every single user in Ethereum. So target market, people on Ethereum.
I think that's the way that everyone hopes that Ethereum would go, right? You kind of join in and you're saying, you know, that is the perfect world, is that we get to a place where anyone and everyone can do this. Sometimes we bring guests on and they have these really awesome ideas and they're really cool and innovative and then they're targeted more towards the institutional side. And we have people who reach out and say, hey, you know, is there any way for, you know, the average Joe, like me or you, to get in on this? And then sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is maybe at a later date. Sometimes the answer is, well, if you're an accredited investor. But I think for anyone to have the ability to kind of flip this on is useful. Because I think before the institutional, and maybe I'm a little bit wrong in this now that I think about it, but I would say before the institutional side comes in, it usually needs retail people there first, right? There needs to be the demand before the supply is actually built. Otherwise, you know, why would they kind of take the risk? And so I think it makes sense, you know, saying, hey, if you want to use this, you can. If you don't, you don't. If you're an institution, if you're small, big, large, you know, if you're a minnow or a whale, you know, come and have the ability to try this and check this out. Because who knows, you know, there's going to be someone in a unique situation where they're going to say, oh my gosh, I'm in a rush, or oh my goodness, I need this done right now. There's going to be people who care more about time than price. There's going to be the vice versa. And so I think letting people have the option to do this is so important. Because again, going back to just like real world examples, that's the way the real world works, right? It's competitive. There's options and people get to do this. Yeah. And if people want to have the option, you're saying, hey, here it is available for you. Go ahead and kind of do it yourself.
Absolutely. So there's, you know, like how often do we need a real-time experience? You know, not all the time, right? Now, of course, the trading firms, they would very much prefer a real-time experience. So they will make avail of this a lot more often. But the driver, one of the main drivers behind this is... is the goal is the desire to eliminate like MEV and like predatory players. right? Because currently, as I was mentioning earlier, within the 12-second block, everybody puts their trades ahead. And then there are these auctions where it's like, hey, I'm going to front run these users, you're going to front run those users, and let's compete to see who can front run and extract the most value from the everyday people trying to land trades. And so by sequencing the block in real time, that disappears for the most part, you know, but like 93-95% of this predatory behavior just disappears and it goes back to the everyday person. So that's one of the, I wouldn't even call it unintended side effects, but that's one of the great side effects of this. But yeah, coming back to your point, in reality, how often do we need something real time? Not all the time, but when we do want it, we can have it.
Are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? I sure am. The Gemini credit card earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it just like any other credit card when you buy lunch, gas, or even just your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. All that with no annual fee. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Guys, you've heard us talk about Gemini now every single episode, and we love and appreciate that they've been a sponsor because we use their products, whether it's the exchange or the card. They have been leaders in the space for so long. So if you're interested in earning crypto rewards for your everyday spending, go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees.
Issued by WebBank. Some exclusions to instant rewards apply. This is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. Check Gemini's website for more details on rates and fees.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that, cools up to 8 times faster, and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
100%. And immediately my brain goes towards, you know, I was just in an Uber the other day and there's like options where you can like, hey, you can expedite your Uber or Lyft. You pay a little bit of an extra fee. Same thing with like DoorDash or a food delivery. You can do an expedited fee and get it to you faster. I was just getting a suit and they said, oh, hey, we got to tailor some things and this and that. It'll be ready in 2 weeks. You know, what if I'm someone who's like, oh no, I need it.
Going to a wedding.
I need it in a couple of days. They say, well, yeah. Oh, well, we can do it in a rush. You know, a rush fee and this and that. And it's so true that it's like, you know, are you always going to need that? No, but when you do, you do. And to have the option there just makes sense because we already see it in so many of our other different aspects of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you have that certainty as well. So it's like, it's going to happen. Whereas sometimes you say like, I'm going to put like, you know, low gas fee and, you know, it doesn't go through in that block. And then, well, is it going to go through in the next block? Like you just don't want to sit there like, with the loading. Like you just want things to happen sometimes. Right. So frankly, if it's like 10 cents extra or 20, you're just like, okay, fine. Or, you know, like DoorDash, you know, food delivery, or maybe the delivery driver is going to stop somewhere else first and drop something else off. And like, I just want it now. Like I'm hungry, hangry, whatever it is. Yeah.
100%. So, you know, we're seeing a lot done on the L2 side and we've seen that built out. Where do you kind of factor this in like the role of L2s? You know, why is it important that Ethereum's execution layer reach this kind of standard as opposed to just saying, you know, the L2s can handle this and they can handle these scalability features?
Yeah, so there's a couple parts to this. So I think of Ethereum as kind of like downtown, and L2s is, you know, like, you know, uptown or like a suburb. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, going back to, as you were saying a few years ago in like NFT era, for example, like gas fees were crazy. But, you know, without people trading JPEGs, and which are largely worthless now, but you know, without trading JPEGs, we wouldn't have brought on hundreds of millions of people into crypto, right? Like that was the thing that brought so many people on board. And so it's those people who spent gas, which, you know, thank you, which kind of made Ethereum and the L2s what it is, right? It spawned kind of like that L2 roadmap where we desperately need scaling today. What do we do? And poof, there's that L2 roadmap. And with roadmap, we've shifted some of the demand and some of the pressure over to the L2s. Meanwhile, we were able to scale the L1. right? And so now the L1 is able to scale to, you know, 10 times or 10, 20 times the number of trades. L1 is now as fast, if not faster, than many of the L2s. Now, all of a sudden, this downtown core, which got congested, has like fast forwarded into a, I don't know, I need to find like a Westworld, you know, third year, third episode, whatever, third season, when it was like really futuristic or like a 5G era type of thing. You know, like we're on the cusp of that era in downtown. So all of a sudden, downtown is going to look like super hot, futuristic, cypherpunk. You know, there we go, right?
Yeah.
And when that L1 is that much faster and that much better, the entire ecosystem benefits. You have a lot more trade between the L1 and the L2s, a lot more faster, predictable interaction between the two. And we'll see where it goes from there. So, yeah, you know, some of the liquidity might shift back to L1 just because downtown's cool. You have all the nightclubs or whatever, and like things are happening. But both sides get stronger. The whole ecosystem benefits.
Yeah, they do. And we've talked to both, actually, I would say most of the major L2s at this point, and we've talked to their teams and we talked to some of the ETH mainnet devs. And I think that they would both agree with that statement because, again, Ethereum is the main chain. It is the base layer. You improve that, I think everything else from there on, everything that's built on top of it, everything improves and the whole ecosystem. And also, everyone benefits. It almost creates a win-win scenario the more we build this out.
Absolutely.
And it's so easy. Most people forget just how new this stuff is in the bigger picture, in the grand scheme of things. When you look at Ethereum and most of the blockchain stuff that has happened, you know, most of it's been in the last decade or so. And when you look at every other form of like major technology or financial technology and stuff, it's had a lot longer to build all of like of everything that's in existence than just that. And so I think Ethereum and all of crypto, it's doing it fast. But people are impatient and sometimes people are fickle. And it's easy to judge it and say, why are we not already at the end game? You know, it's been 10 years. And then they look at everything that the TradFi industry has been building over the last, you know, century. And the hardest part is getting started, right? The hardest part is getting started. And then I think you see an accelerated curve from there. And so that is just something I would tell people, say like, hey, you know, we're getting there. And now there's the conversation, you know, there's starting to be conversations about gasless transactions, and now gasless transactions are starting to get mentioned a lot more in crypto. You know, is there any validity to that? You know, is there a world where you could see gasless transactions, and if so, maybe how far out?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so gasless in the purest sense, no, but will people need to think and care about gas? Like, we can get rid of that part. And so One of the things we're working on is we have this open gas initiative, we call it. And basically it's working with protocols to shift the responsibility of gas fees to the protocol and away from the user. So guys like Pendle, EtherFi, EigenLayer, a couple others. Basically, if you're like staking, trading, you know, interacting with these protocols, you might pay, you know, 25 cents, a dollar, whatever the gas amount is. Like, you're still going to have to pay it. But at the end of the month, you're going to get rebated that amount of gas back to you. And what that does is it makes you realize like, oh, I don't need to think about where the gas prices are when I'm going to transact. I just kind of hit the button, right? And so that's analogous to like currently, like if you buy a coffee, imagine it's like $5.10 today, $5.13 the next day, $5.06, right? Like, if it was just $5.10 every single day, it would be so much easier. So that's basically what happens here. The protocols will pay for gas on behalf of the end users, and they'll just bake it into their transaction fees. So if you normally pay whatever, like a 10 basis point transaction fee, maybe it's 10.5, but at least there's no gas. You get all those payments back.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that's just the way that it would work, right? Is that it gets to be at a point where it's so small that it's like, all right, I don't care. I don't notice it. And that is the end goal. You know, it's never going to be in the absolute most, you know, specific definition of free, you know, not necessarily, but when something's so cheap that you don't have to think about it, I think that's what most people would care about, you know, where maybe a dollar or a couple cents will go just forever, right? It'll go, you know, imagine if a couple cents would last you the whole year. You're not going to think about it. half the time at stores here. You know, I'm in Florida. You know, there's, you're going to have to pay a little bit more if you don't pay in cash, right? Mm-hmm. And that time it's like a noticeable difference. Sometimes it's, you know, I don't know what. Sometimes it's a matter of cents. Sometimes it's a matter of like, your meal's going to be an extra dollar and a half, $2. And so I think so long as it's like that much where you're like, a dollar could cover my entire year of fees or something less than that, I don't think mm-hmm. anyone's ever going to bat an eye or complain or worry about it. But one of the interesting things – go ahead.
Ben, sorry to cut you off there. You know, from an everyday person standpoint, you would think that's the case. And I agree with you as it relates to like everyday people. But the folks that have the hardest time trying to understand this is TradFi. So I've spoken with a number of banks, and the thing that they can't deal with is like, well, why do gas prices go up and down? Like, from my perspective, it's like, come on, you're a bank. You're used to paying like $50 to settle a transaction or like $100. And in those conversations, it's like, well, it might be 50 cents or 75 or like $1.20. And it's like, they can't fathom a variable transaction fee. And so I don't know if that's like an education thing or it's something they actually need to hedge, but it's surprising how, again, they're used to paying $50 to like to settle these things, and they're uncertain if it's like 50 cents or $1, $1.50, like they struggle with that. So something we need to work on, you know, together and as a community, but we'll figure it out.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's an education thing because people are used to wire transfers and all these other different things. And it's like, you're going to be paying much more and it's going to take longer. And now it's like, hey, you have this option where you can pay less and have it faster. And they're like, but there's a variable feature to it. And we can't do that. You know, God forbid it goes from you're going to pay a couple cents to a couple bucks and it's going to be near instant. And then they kind of scoff at that. And it's, I think, just going to need to be an education thing. And I think as time goes on, people are going to be more open to it. In the same way that in, you know, the early days, you know, I'm fairly young myself, so I can only speak to this so much. But, you know, in the early days, you know, people were hesitant to do websites. People were hesitant against the internet. People were hesitant against smartphones. When you're saying, I'm going to put my credit card information online or on my phone and pay for things that way, you know, is that even safe? What about all these different moving parts? And I think people are just going to warm up to that idea as blockchain becomes so integrated that it's borderline seamless. And I think the end goal, at least in my opinion, is for us to get to a point where you don't even have to necessarily know or care that you're using blockchain technology and have it just working in the background and making all of the infrastructure and your overall life and experience better. And I think we get there. I really do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's talk about Ethereum, just like the state of Ethereum. You know, some of the transactions, we mentioned this earlier, just recently here, you know, in 2026, Ethereum transactions hitting all-time highs here fairly recently. And at the same time, gas fees were going down to, I think it was multi-year lows. Gas fees were under 1 cent at the same time that Ethereum's transaction count was at all-time highs, which is fascinating because, again, a couple of years ago, you go back and you look, and that would have broken a lot of people's brains. They're going to say, what do you mean we're able to do more than DeFi summer and the NFT boom and the meme coin surge? And we're able to do more than all of that. I think it was almost double that. I could be wrong. And then the fees are still under a cent. Like, where is all of this coming from? Have you been able to like look into that at all? Because Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I guess a little bit. So I saw something earlier, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, where it was like, it was cheaper to do either a swap or a transfer on Ethereum versus Base. And like, that's interesting, right? And I think what happens is that like on Base, you have like so many transactions, but they're like much smaller, right? It's like $100, $200 or whatever it might be. But again, like on Ethereum, those small relatively micro transactions, they don't exist as much on Ethereum. They could, and they probably should, because you get less slippage with like Uniswap than on Base. I don't know. But like, you know, Uniswap still has, L1 still has like the vast large pools of liquidity. So we'll see where that goes, right? As I said, the L1 itself is going to have 10 times the block space. So if that goes from a cent to a tenth of a cent, you'll see a lot of activity shift back to the L1. So we're in a great situation here for Ethereum as the broader ecosystem, but we'll see what happens. Maybe people are happily stuck, you know, not working down, not trading downtown, but, you know, in the suburb, you know, I'm happy where I am, you know, out in the pasture or wherever they are.
Yeah. Spot on, man. Spot on. So if people want to get involved here, and they want to utilize some of the features that we have talked about today, like, how do they do that? You know, can they just, do they need to go to a website? Do they need to sign up? Can they do it from a MetaMask wallet? Like, walk us through that.
Sure. So there's two parts to this. The first part is the real-time trading part. So we are speaking with about a dozen wallets at different stages of integrating the real-time capability into the wallet. And so I'd say by, you know, summertime, you know, we'll have some of the major wallets integrated on that front. There's a wallet. I'd say give us about a month from now, and about 100 million people will have access to this, assuming the numbers that the wallets have are true. So yeah, well, about 100 million people will have access within about a month. And then for kind of the gasless experience, we've onboarded a handful of protocols into this in our Open Gas initiative. And in that case, on our website, we have a list of our partner protocols for that. And so if you are, again, trading, swapping, interacting with those protocols, then at the end of the month, you can come to our website and just hit claim and get that gas back. And so we'll be kicking that off likely starting in a week for end of this month. So like March 1st or March 3rd, you'll be able to start claiming back your gas fees spent with our partner protocols in February.
Wow.
I can't believe we're in February already.
So. I know. I was doing a call just yesterday, and I kicked it off and I said, welcome back. It's January. Wait, no, it's actually February now already. It's just time is flying by, my friend.
For sure.
Another thing, you know, so people want to get involved. Where can they follow you on both your website and your socials? Where should people search for you at?
Yeah, so on my X, I'm just Lepso, at Lepsoe. Our team account is ETHGASOfficial. Hit us up there. Say hi.
Awesome. Well, that's going to go ahead and wrap us up, everyone. Kevin, once again, thank you so much. It's been super insightful getting to hear about what you're building and just how you guys are moving this side of the industry forward. I mean, it truly is fascinating to anyone who's using Ethereum on a somewhat regular basis. And if you are, definitely go check them out, guys. They're doing a lot of cool stuff. Obviously, so many different awesome topics that we got to talk about today. But the big takeaway for me here is that looking at what this enables for the future of crypto. What if we are able to get near instant transactions? What if we are able to make gas fees go down so much that you don't have to think about them? What if we are able to enable so many different forms of innovation that weren't previously possible because of some of these issues? And so Kevin and his whole team over there are working hard on this. So Kevin, once again, thank you so much for watching.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate your time.
You know that goal you set at the start of the year? You can still do it, whether you're committed to a through hike with friends, lifting heavier, or simply walking more. It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. Because quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, simplify your progress with just 2 scoops of the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS. Kachava.com, code NEWS.